start a little bit today about Hadlokas Haneiros. First thing we do, now this is, now everything I'm telling you is coming from the Sefer called Simchas HaShabbos. There are three advantages to this Sefer. Sefer, by the way, was written by Rabbi Hollander. Simcha Halevi Hollander. I have no idea who he is. Where does he live? I do not know. I don't even know where he lives. This is his third Sefer. It's his third Sefer, and there are three advantages to the Sefer. Number one is the content is second to none. Okay, he brings out all of the yesodos, the major yesodos of whatever he is discussing. The second advantage is it's written so well, even I can understand it. It's written very well. Unfortunately, it's not uncommon to have very good svarim that have amazing, amazing content, but it's not written very well. It's very, very hard to decipher. You have to spend a lot of time to try to figure out, what are you saying? Are you asking a question, or are you giving an answer? Okay, and then when you finally figure out what they're trying to say, wow, brilliant. But it takes a very long time to get there, to figure out the content. It's not all that common to find a sefer that has incredible content and is written very well. You do have a lot of svarim today that are written very, very well, especially English svarim, but there's very little there. Unfortunately, it's just a lot of fluff. Okay, it's just very, very weak. Very weak on content. It's very eloquent. My father would say, eloquent baloney. You can read a very nice article. It's written. It's like, wow, really written well. You know, the prose, the way, the vocabulary. It's too hard. Okay, fine. Whatever you want.
But it says nothing.
So this, Rabbi Yisai, has both. It has both together. It's the content is spectacular, and it's really... Okay. What's... Rabbi Azriel Orbach. He's a Rabbi Yisai. He's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son. And... Rav Saraya Diblitsky. You know where this is? Is he alive? You sure? There was a Diblitsky that passed away a while ago. I'm not sure it's the same one. I don't know. Okay, but I don't know who he is. But he's quoted. Everyone quotes him. All the halacha svarim always quote him. And Rabbi Gurvitz. Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead. Okay, Rav Avraham Gurwitz.
Gurwitz.
You know who he is? Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead. I'm not familiar with this person. It does not appear that he's a teenager because the third advantage, I told you there are three advantages. The first advantage is the content is spectacular. The second advantage is it's really written well. He really knows how to bring out what he wants to say. And the third advantage is, it appears that this person, he has a spy camera in the home of every gadol you've ever heard of.
Well, he had a grandfather who was a big rabbi in England. His father I had for a rebbe.
Who, Hollander?
He's a young guy. No, Gurwitz.
He's the one who gives the haskama.
Yeah. Oh, he gives the haskama.
His haskama. He has over here the Hanhogos. He tells you, after going through the content and telling you, explaining all of the issues that are involved in all of these matters, he then goes on to tell you exactly what Rav Moshe did, Halacha Lamaisa, in his home, what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky did in his home, what Rav Rudiman did in his home, what the Stipler did in his home, what Rav Chaim Kanievsky does today in his home, what Rav Yecheskel Roth does in his home, and many others. He goes, and Rav Sternbach, these are major, major Bali Halacha. Okay, Bali Halacha, and what the Soloveitchiks, different Soloveitchiks. It's not real. The people that he has over here, I mean, he has over here a list, a whole page of all the different people that he tells you exactly what they did. And many times he says, hey, I saw with his own eyes. So which means, what do you mean you saw your own eyes? You ran around the whole world, you saw these... Obviously you did. Obviously this person, he was mamish, medabik, when it says in the Perkei Avos, in the to go and give you a report, an investigation, exactly what these Gedolei Yisrael did. And sometimes the things that he says are just unbelievable. And it's very satisfying. I was recently working on a project about Kiddush and Al HaMichya. And we'll actually, one day I think we're going to go, I'm going to present what I did. I'm going to give it out into the shir. We'll do it together. We'll go over it together. And this Sefer was just so helpful in ways that it just cannot be explained, because, you know, there are a lot of books out there today that tell you the halacha, the practical halacha, but when you read over it, tell you exactly what every single one of the Gedolei Yisrael did in their home, and they were challenged. They weren't just, okay, they did it, they didn't know what they were doing. They knew what they were doing exactly. They were challenged. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? It takes on a whole new meaning of halacha. Maaseh Rav. The Gemara says Maaseh Rav. You have one Maaseh, it opens up a lot of light into the practical halacha and understanding in what the halacha is all about. Okay, so I'm not going to start from the beginning. We'll come back, maybe if it goes well, we'll come back and do some of, you know, the Erev Shabbos things. But let's just go plunge right into Mamish Seder Hayoyim Halacha L'maisa. First thing about Shabbos is that Shabbos begins with lighting candles. We'll just do a little bit today. Lighting candles, Hadlokas Haneiros. Question. What exactly, it's very important you said, what exactly is the nature of lighting candles on Shabbos? Now, this is very important you said. Every single thing that we do in Yados, you can really divide into three categories. Rishus, if you want to do it. Second category, it's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. And then, mitzvah means it's a commandment. And then there's something called a choiva. You don't have a choice. If you're an Orthodox Jew, you have no choice. You must do this mitzvah. You must do this. If you want to eat meat, you have to eat meat, you have to shchita. Is shchita in the category of you must? No. If I don't want to eat meat, so you don't have to do shchita. You can be a vegetarian. You want to be a vegetarian? Be a vegetarian. So you'll go your whole life, you'll never do shchita, or you will never benefit from an act of shchita. A person does shchita, he makes a bracha, he does a ma'aseh shchita, it's a mitzvah, but it's a commandment that's given in the Torah, which you don't have to do. If you don't want to eat meat, so you don't do shchita. If you want to eat meat, so this is how you go about eating meat, you have to do a ma'aseh shchita. There are many things like that where you don't have to get up in the morning and do it. You have to put yourself in certain situations where you bring it upon yourself. Then there are things that you have to do. You have to do. There are certain categories of mitzvah where you have to do. However, it comes a point where it's too hard. So if it's too difficult, so you don't do it. You don't have to do it. Let's say Kiddush Levana. Let's say it's cloudy. All the days of the week, it's cloudy. Every single day from the beginning of the month, are you mechuyev to get in a car and go get a helicopter, go to another state, go on a plane? You hear the forecast is that it's going to be cloudy nonstop. So are you obligated to get in a car and to go to another state or to go on a plane and fly to another country so that you can mechayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana? No. If you can't do it, you can't do it. You know, there's a mitzvah to be mekadesh the levana. If there's no levana, there's no levana. There are people, you know, they never missed a kiddush levana their whole life. Okay, they'll do anything not to miss a kiddush levana. But let's talk practical halacha. Are you mechuy? There are many things in halacha. You do the best you can. If you're supposed to daven every single day with the minyan, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. Let's say there is no minyan for mincha. Are you mechuyiv to make yourself crazy to go find a minyan to daven mincha with a minyan? So you'll daven without a minyan. The world won't come to an end. Then there are certain things that you don't have a choice. You just don't have a choice. You have to do it. You have to do whether you like it or not. You have to put on tefillin every single day whether you like it or not. You don't have a choice. You can't go today on a day off. I wanted a day off today. I'm tired today. Today, no tefillin. I left my tefillin in shul. What?
Yontif is a day
Okay, but there are certain things that you have no choice. And the question is that this is something which is not so clear, and that is, but actually the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch actually makes a point specifically in this mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. Is Ner Shabbos a nice thing to do? Is it a mitzvah to do? Or is it a choiva to do? So if you wouldn't open up the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know, some people, especially people who don't, you grow up, your parents, your mother lit candles, Shabbos candles for the whole family. So you're yotzing with your mother. You don't even have an appreciation of what the mitzvah is all about. So if you don't have Ner Shabbos, you don't have Ner Shabbos.
But did it start Ner Shabbos?
It started in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol. It started, the first record we have of Ner Shabbos has to be when they were masakin to make a bracha, which has to be the end of the Bayis Sheni. That's the first time we know about it. At least we know about it. They actually like Shabbos candles. Before, Rashi and Chumash says that Sari Imenu lit candles. The Ner that Sari Imenu lit in her home lasted the entire week from Shabbos to Shabbos. Rashi and Chumash says this. It's a Medrash. So we know that Sari Imenu lit Shabbos candles. Obviously, you're bothered there was no Shabbos in time of Avram Avinu because before Matan Torah. Okay, so you get into this discussion, but we brought up that when the Yitzchak, he married Rivka, the miracle returned that the Ner Shabbos that Sarah lit went from Shabbos to Shabbos. So we do find such a principle of lighting Shabbos candles back in the time of Sarah. It goes all the way back. But practical halacha of the way we do the mitzvah today, that comes from the Gemara. And the Gemara, Ner Shabbos, the Gemara talks about Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, all the different related halachas of what is Ner Shabbos. This goes back to the Gemara, and that's about 2,000, at least 2,000 years ago in print. You want to, more or less, but you want to find, that's what we know about it. So the question over here is, Shulchan Aruch questions, what is Ner Shabbos? Is Ner Shabbos a nice thing to do? That when you come home from Shul, there should be two candles lit in your home? Or is Ner Shabbos a mitzvah, which means you should do it? It's not a reshus. You should seek it out. But, you know, if it's a little bit late, you're running late, you get home from work late, and you just don't have time to get your act together, so you don't light the Shabbos candles, you know, so the world won't come to an end. Or is Ner Shabbos a choiva? You don't have a choice. You get those candles lit whether you like it or not. You don't have a choice. You don't have those candles lit, you're in a lot of trouble. There are consequences. There are consequences for not lighting Ner Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly, I'll read you the words, the hadlokas ner b'shabbos ain't a reshus. It's not a reshus. Imrotza ain't a malik. The ain't a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, which means she ain't a chayiv lirdif acharecha ad she'asena. V'chul ela the Shulchan Aruch writes ze choiva. You don't have a choice. You must light Shabbos candles whether you like it or not. V'echad anoshim, v'echad noshim, chayovin liyois bibotehen, ner doluk b'shabbos, at least one ner lit in their home. So this is a very beautiful yisoy. It's not just a yisoy when it comes to this mitzvah, but it's a yisoy which applies to all mitzvahs. It's always worthy to appreciate in the spectrum of Jewish practice where each mitzvah stands on the spectrum. Is it a custom? Is it a reshus? Is it a mitzvah? Or is it a choiva? A mitzvah, the category, the Shulchan Aruch, the words the Shulchan Aruch used for mitzvah indicates that when it comes to a mitzvah, there comes a point in time where let go. You don't have to go the extra mile. You're not obligated. Sometimes maybe it's not even correct. It's not even correct. There are certain things, don't go too far. Chazal did not want you to go too far to make yourself meshuga on certain matters. I'll give you a very simple example. Okay? This is an example where you appreciate to be to a person who understands halacha. What on Shabbos you have an obligation to make kiddush. That's the halacha. You have to make kiddush. How do you make kiddush? There are certain rules that you need to fulfill in order to make kiddush. Now, if you follow the Shulchan Aruch word for word, strict interpretation of Shulchan Aruch, what happens if you do not have wine or bread to make Kiddush. Friday night was Shabbos day. I can't make Kiddush because I cannot fulfill the requirements of Shulchan Aruch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to even drink until you make Kiddush. So the average person, it's an amazing insight into halacha, what it means to be a real Talmud Chacham. Rav Moshe says this. So I can't make Kiddush. I don't have in the house wine. I don't have in the house bread. I have tuna fish. I have some yogurt. I have some Coca-Cola. But I don't have what I need to be mekayim kiddush lahaloch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's not a good example. Then, if you hold like that opinion, you can use that's a shayla. But let's put that aside. Whatever the conditions are such. So if you want to follow what it says in Shul, it says Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to even drink until you make Kiddush. And how do you make Kiddush? There's a whole guideline, a whole Shulchan Aruch. I can't fulfill what it says. So you know what that means? It means I have to fast on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to eat. That's what it means. Is that what it means? If you put the Shulchan Aruch into a computer, the computer will tell you you have to fast. That's the answer the computer will give you. Because Shulchan Aruch says, you have to make Kiddush, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to eat, and this is how you make Kiddush, and that means artificial intelligence. If you cannot fulfill the conditions, the default is you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink, that's it, you're done.
Only on Shabbos for a whole week?
No, the week there's no din Kiddush during the week. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch or any of the Noisei Kehillah, nowhere does it say what to do if you can't make if you don't cannot make Kiddush. Nowhere. It basically the default is you have to starve. So if Moshe says if you can't cannot make Kiddush, you can eat without making Kiddush. Because it's not logical, it's not possible, Chazal would be misaking something that you should starve on Shabbos. It's a shtus. You're not going to die. It's not pikuach nefesh. People went through Yom Kippur. You don't hear people died because they fasted on Yom Kippur. You can fast the whole day. But Rav Moshe says, making Kiddush is a... The way we make Kiddush is a derabban. Making Kiddush deraisa, davening, v'chulu, v'chulu. But the way we make Kiddush, it's not possible that Chazal would be misaken to make a set of rules that should result in a person not eating anything the entire Shabbos or even Friday night. It's just not possible. Not possible. So therefore, if you come home and you cannot make Kiddush for whatever reason, whatever the situation is such, and you have food and you want to eat, so you can eat without making Kiddush. Where does it say that? Show me. Show me a source for this. You will not find this anywhere in the Gemara, anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, not in the Mogen Avram, not in the Taz, not in all of the Maisei Kehillah, not in Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Rav Moshe says, it's poshut. It's poshut ad ma'od. So you have to, it's an amazing insight, is that there are certain things that are not in Shulchan Aruch. You have to understand how to learn Shulchan Aruch. It's an amazing insight into, you know, there's a lot more than just what it says in the book. You'll put the Shulchan Aruch into the computer, artificial intelligence, it's going to tell you, not allowed to eat. And versus the biggest shtus, the computer doesn't understand this, that it's more than just a set of rules. There's more to life, there's more to understanding Yadus than just this. This is a really, really great example, and this is mamish in the words of Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch, he breaks up, all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, he breaks up Ner Shabbos into three categories. Doesn't do this like any other mitzvah, and that is Ner Shabbos a reshus? Is it a mitzvah, or is it a chayva? L'may nafkamina, a reshus? Up to you. Totally your choice if you want to light candles. Today, if it was a reshus, probably most people wouldn't like, they wouldn't bother. All the environmentalists will certainly tell you not to light candles, right? They'll tell you it's carbon emission to light candle, right? It's causing global warming. Globe. I once saw an environmentalist on a Jewish blog, not Orthodox, is that this year, for the environment, everyone should light, just do your part. What, light one less Hanukkah candle. Just light one less Hanukkah candle this year. That way you'll do your part. Everyone in the world will light just one less Hanukkah candle. Think about how we will save the environment. Okay? Okay, that's what happens. Is it a rishus? No, it's not a rishus. Okay, it's a mitzvah. Oh, a mitzvah is a mitzvah. When something is a mitzvah, you have to have seichel. It doesn't mean jump off the Washington Bridge to do the mitzvah. There are limits. What you're supposed to do to mekayim the mitzvah. And we are the limits. I think today's society, we don't really have that. We don't know how to gauge. We've lost that sensitivity in gauging how far to go. When to let go and when to go. We find people doing really bizarre things.
Like Shalom Bayit issue. Yeah, a lot of Shalom Bayit issues like that.
A lot of crazy things. We were like, what's going on?
On both sides.
Both sides, right. Everywhere. We've lost, in the previous generations, we look back, we see that they had a certain balance. They had a certain sense of knowing how to gauge mitzvahs when it's time to let go. When it's time to be lenient, or you know something? Unfortunately, in this matzah, we cannot fulfill the mitzvah. We're not going to go jump off the bridge and mekayim the mitzvah. Because halacha does not want you to do that. There's a certain set of, and where does it say this? It doesn't. That's the problem. It doesn't say what the rules are. And that, like Rav says, doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. According to Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat. You have to starve. No, but that's ridiculous. You're allowed to eat. If you can't make Kiddush, so you don't make Kiddush. So you eat without making Kiddush. So you lost out in the midst of making Kiddush. What could you do? But you can't. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to drink. Yeah, that means that when you're going to make Kiddush, you're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. But if you can't make Kiddush, then you can eat and drink right away. Nothing's holding you back. You know, it takes some seichel to understand that. And then we come to the category of choiva, which is, it's like a red flag. That's like, wait, this is serious business. And interesting, I don't think the average person, because most men don't like candles, so when you don't do it yourself, you don't have that appreciation, you don't have that sensitivity. Your wife lights the candle, so they have that sensitivity. But men, when they are in a situation when now they have to light the candles, let's say the wife is in labor, or the wife is in a place where she can't light candles, whatever the reasons are, and now it's your responsibility. Oh, yes, I won't light the candles. You know, men don't have that sensitivity. Shulchan Aruch Mechaber writes, listen here, it's a choiva. This is serious business. This is not something you play around with. The lighting of Shabbos candles is a very serious business. Now the Mechaber, he writes, what's the very important, just another yisod, what is the reason why you light Hanukkah, why you light Shabbos candles, is Oineg Shabbos. Okay, it's all he says, and that's a very, very important yisod, and he writes, Shezebechal Oineg, it's all he writes, Oineg Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, in the name of the Gra, okay, that there's also, there's another din, and this is very, very important yisoid, and that is the din of Kavod Shabbos, which means Lamaskan, even in the Mechaber only says Oinek Shabbos, there are two fundamental reasons why we light Shabbos candles, enjoyment and honor. What is the enjoyment? The enjoyment is there should be light in the home. When you come home at night, especially when you eat in the place where you eat, if it's possible, then you should be able to see the food. Seeing the food gives you a tainug, an enjoyment that you would not otherwise have when you're eating in the dark. Even if you're not going to be able to see the food because of the candles, just the fact that there are candles, there's light in the home. When you walk around, that's also a degree of enjoyment. You're not going to step on something and hurt yourself. Light in your home is a degree of enjoyment. Period. That's all it says in the Mechaber. There's another reason why you light candles. To give honor to Shabbos. Which basically means there's nothing to do with deriving benefit. The fact that candles are lit is an act which shows today is Shabbos, I'm doing something to show today is Shabbos. It's not a mystical thing, like a yahrzeit candle. It's not your candles lit. It's a technique that Chazal employed to put a person to a frame of mind, tonight is Shabbos, and in order for you to recognize that tonight is Shabbos, we want you to do something. Even if you're not going to derive any benefit whatsoever. You're going to be eating by your parents, by your children, and you're going to be lighting, you're not going to derive one benefit. Doesn't matter. You have to do something on Friday to show tonight is Shabbos. And that is to light candles. Now, l'may nafkamina, there are many nafkaminas. First nafkamina is, let's say you don't enjoy any benefit. Let's say, if the only reason why you light candles is because you have to derive oinik enjoyment, if you're lighting candles and then you're going to your children, or to your parents, or you're going somewhere to eat, you're not deriving any benefit. It would be a barocho levatola. But if it's because of honor of Shabbos, then no, it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to derive any benefit. You have to do an act to show that there's honor for Shabbos. Now, what will be the nafkamina the other way around? This is very, very important. That is on the Yom Tov. Yom Tov, now, let's explain. Yom Tov, we also light candles. Now, lighting candles on Yom Tov is very complicated, but it's beyond question, it is an extension of the lighting of candles for Shabbos. Whatever rules apply to lighting candles on Shabbos apply to Yom Tov. Yom Tov, we light candles for two reasons: enjoyment and honor. Therefore, here is the question. On Yom Tov, when you are allowed to light, let's say the first day Yom Tov going into the second day of Yom Tov, should you light candles early, 18 minutes before sunset, or should you light candles at night after Tzeis HaKoychavim? So most people, but many people light candles after Tzeis HaKoychavim, when it's already dark, because of Hachona. They view that if they were to light candles early during the day, it would be viewed in the halacha as if you are preparing from one day to the next day. Now, on a regular Shabbos, you don't have a choice, because Shabbos, you're not allowed to light candles at night, because lighting candles at night is Chil Shabbos. You have to light candles early. But it's more than that. If the reason why you light candles is because of the honor of Shabbos, the specific time to light candles is specifically before the day begins, on Erev Shabbos. And thus, if Chazal established that a person should light candles on Yom Tov, the specific moment to light candles for Yom Tov is before the second day begins. Let's go back to Shabbos. Why do we light candles Shabbos 18 minutes before sunset? So some will tell you because it's just a practical matter. Because the only reason why I have candles is I want to see the food. I want to have enjoyment. I would really light the candles at night when it's dark. But being that on Shabbos you're not allowed to light fire, it's Chil Shabbos, I have no choice. So I light the candles before. That's if you learn that the lighting of the candles is because of oneg, enjoyment. But if the reason why you light candles is because of honor, the way you give honor to the Shabbos is by lighting the candles Erev Shabbos. If you were able to light the candles once Shabbos began, It would be a barucho levatol. Forget about Chil Shabbos. It would be a barucho levatol. There is no kavod Shabbos lighting the candles after Shabbos already began. You're too late. The honor of the Shabbos is before the Shabbos begins. It's to show tonight is Shabbos. And therefore, I'm going to give kavod to the Shabbos by lighting the candles in advance. If you light the candles in advance, and if you were able theoretically to light the candles on Shabbos, it would be bracha levatola, because that's not kavod. There is no kavod in coming late. There is no kavod in lighting the candles on Shabbos at night. There are two separate dinim, and the nafka mina is Yom Tov. If a person lights candles on Yom Tov after it's already dark, there's no kavod for Yom Tov. the lighting is only oinek. If you light the candles before the second day Yom Tov, then there is oneg and there is kovod. The problem is not all of the poskim hold that it's worthy to get to allow yourself to enhance, to fulfill the kovod when it borders on a violation of halacha, of being mechin from one day of Yom Tov to another day of Yom Tov. And thus, on the second night of Yom Tov, you have to forfeit the kovod and only settle for the oineg, because it's safer. Because otherwise, you're doing an avera of being mechin from one day Yom Tov to another day of Yom Tov. But many poskim disagree. They say if Chazal established that you should light candles on the second day of Yom Tov, it means they gave you permission. When lighting candles means kovod, and it means oinek, and if Chazal told you to do so, the only way to give it kovod is to light it on the first day Yom Tov, 18 minutes before sunset. And there is no violation of halacha. That's what Chazal told you to do. The same one who told you that you're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next day also told you to give kovod to the second day by lighting candles on the first day Yom Tov, 18 minutes before sunset. It's all the same Chazal. So this is a very big debate. What is interesting is that the Mechaber makes no mention whatsoever of kovod. He only makes mention of oined. And maybe that's why it's much more popular on Yom Tov, the second day of Yom Tov, to light candles after it's dark, only to focus on the oneg, not to focus on the kovod, which would demand you light before sunset, because the Mechaber doesn't even make mention that there's something called kovod when it comes to candle lighting. This is something which we know from other sources that's quoted, this is from the Gra, and this is something that is quoted by the Mishnah Brura. It's something which is secondary. Okay, next topic of discussion.
If a woman, let's say, is in a hospital where she can't light a nair, and so she uses the light...
So we'll get to it later on. It's very complicated. We'll discuss later on at the end.
But my point is that there's no kovod Shabbos.
She has to before... No, anything that you do before Shabbos...
No, but you don't even realize... I mean, she...
The question is the ner shabbos. You need a ner. What's called a ner? Ner normally means three things. You have to have fuel, you have to have a wick, and you have to have light. So in the hospitals, they do not allow you. You're horig val yavar in a hospital. Please. Right, so you can't, what are you going to do over there? You can't do it. So then the husband has to light at home. Husband has to light at home, and the woman, she can light just without a bracha. Can light, they give the LEDs today. They give LEDs. Or you can light a flashlight. The other solution is to use a flashlight. Independent source of fuel, an incandescent flash.
That you but can that would not be a kovod to Shabbos, am I right?
No, it is a kovod to Shabbos. So anything that you do Shabbos, before Shabbos.
Put it on is because, even though it's so, I mean, you don't even realize why, you think the on of Shabbos, candles, you know, I mean.
No, that's oneg. No, let's clarify. The kovod Shabbos is to do an act. Is to do an act in recognition tonight is Shabbos, even though you're not going to benefit from this act at all.
Covering the table.
And the way, right? So the Talmud Motor, they would cover the table. They would salt the fish. Different rabbi, they did them. They would clean up the house. There's something which Chazal were misaki. Those are all enhancements of covered Shabbos. The primary covered Shabbos is a technique to remind you that tonight is Shabbos. And the way I recognize that tonight is Shabbos, I'm going to do something. I light a candle. It's not practical. I'm not going to derive benefit from this candle. I'm going to light the candle, and it's going to be in the corner over there. I'm not going to even see it. It's going to be in the house. It's going to be over there. I'm not going to see it. But I'm doing it Erev Shabbos. I'm doing this act. And there's going to be enough oil in this candle to light until Tzei Sakal Chavim as a way of recognizing that tonight is Shabbos. That's an act of kovod Shabbos. Am I deriving benefit? No. Couldn't care less. It's over there. I'm not deriving any benefit from it. It's purely an act. And thus it must be done Erev Shabbos in recognition that tonight is Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos means practical, tachlis. I'm coming home tonight to eat a meal. I want to see what the food looks like. I don't want to get into a fight with my wife. That's called oinek, enjoyment. That's oinek. L'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is yomtif, because yomtif you are permitted to light a fire on after it gets dark.
Yeah.
So if it's only because of enjoyment, so go right ahead, light it when you come home from shul tonight. I'm not eating until you come home. You're not eating, so why waste fuel? Why waste oil? Daven and shul, you come home when you want to eat dinner. Then you light a candle so you can see what the food looks like. Oh, oineg yomtif. You make a bracha. But if the reason why you light is because you want to do an act to give kavod to yomtif, the way you give honor to the day is you do an act before the day begins. Doing an act after the day begins is worthless. Too little, too late. Kavod demands you do it before it starts. It's a very interesting insight on what the word kavod then means. What does kavod mean? What does kavod mean? Go bow down to someone? What does it mean you give kavod? You learn from Chazal, kavod means you prepare in advance. Kavod doesn't mean, oh, he's already here. Okay, so there's a holy person. Let me go run to give him shalom. Real kavod is preparation. A holy man is coming, let me prepare. Let me roll out the red carpet. Let me prepare in advance. That's kavod. Once already, the show is already in motion, the show's in progress, and now, oh, let me also join the bandwagon. Let me go and also, that's not kavod. That's your own pleasure. That you're too little. True kavod is preparation. You learn that yisoyf from this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Tzvei dinim, like a brisk of art, two dinim in hadlokas ner shel Shabbos. There's kavod and there is oinek. The nafkamina is, let's say you're not going to enjoy it. The candles, most people today don't really derive any benefit from the candles. They don't. You have electricity. The facts are, who really can say they use the Shabbos candles that gives them any satisfaction? It creates ambiance, maybe. An ambiance in the home. Then they come home, the candles on the Shabbos table. That's called the oinek. Okay, maybe for some people, not for everyone. Some doesn't even register that the lichter is lit. You don't even notice if it wasn't even lit. For some people, no, it's ambiance. Looks very nice. Looks very. That's another thing. The other thing. I'm not talking about that. That's other thing. But today, all these things today, they're disappearing every day because all the technology is changing so quickly. Today everything is new technology. There's no more neiros anymore. Neiros have very specific requirements. You need a wick, you need fuel, and you need fire. There's no fire anymore today. It's just gases that are glowing. And there's no wick. And fuel is also a whole mystery today. It's hard to keep up with what's going on and to explain what's going on, how all of these things work. It's very, very complicated. Try to figure out, go buy yourself a new computer screen and try to figure out the difference between all the different technologies that are available out there. LED, they don't even sell anymore. LED is out the window. Now there's new technology. You don't even realize on your smartphone, you don't have LED. There's amazing technologies out there. Try to ask a Pesach to explain to you how these things work.
What's the new technology for LED? You know the name? What's it called?
Go on your smartphone and what kind of technology is used for the screen resolution. It's OLED, I think it's called OLED. OLED. On the smartphones, they're using OLED. It's not LED. It's a whole OLOM. OLOM. I don't remember. I forgot. I don't know what these are. But it's totally different. Okay. Now let's do one more thing and then we'll stop. One more quick. So then that is, who gets to do the mitzvah? Let's say the husband says to his wife, listen, I'm in charge here. I pay the bills. I go to work. You couldn't survive without me.
Good luck.
I'm the boss here. I want to light the candles. I want a zuchus. Yeah, tzadekes. You say tehillim all day. You're such a good person. I'm a balavera. I need episodes zuchus to keep me going to next year. I need a zuchus. Let me at least have a little zuchus. You know, stand back. Give me a chance to do something good in this world. The wife can say to the husband, get lost. Get lost. It's my mitzvah. The Chazal, we're misaking, talk about women, empowering women. Okay, people, there's a whole topic. Women are very, Chazal have empowered women in this mitzvah to the degree they can tell their husbands to go fly a kite. It's not their mitzvah. The mitzvah is miyuchid for the isha for two reasons. Yeah, all these, why? What are the two reasons? Number one is the ikar tam is because, not the medrash, ikar tam is the woman is the ikaras habayis. The woman in the eyes of Chazal, she runs the home. A man is a guest in his wife's home. A husband is a guest in his wife's home. Ein oireach machnis oireach. A guest cannot invite a guest. I told this a woman, I have a friend, and he's very, very, he loves to invite people to the house. So he invites all these, so he invited some crazy people. So his wife is very nice, very nice. His wife told him, this guy, I do not want in the house. I just don't like him. I cannot stand this guy. There's something about him that makes me very nervous. And my friend, like, what's wrong with him? And the other guy you do like. The other guy was even bigger meshuggah. And him you have no problem with, and this guy? And he cannot figure out why his wife is just paranoid about this certain guy. So he said, what do I think? So I told him, listen, buddy, a husband is a guest in his wife's home. And the halacha is, a guest is not allowed to invite a guest. So you have no right to invite someone, al pi halacha, who your wife does not want in the house. So she wins, hands down. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And that was the end. He talked to them, stopped inviting him.
Guests in the home where the man made the kiddush and the wife made the motzi. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Not a Brooklyn thing, but this
it's not a Brooklyn thing that I can tell you. It's not a traditional. That's not traditional.
Why can't she be
Baisi? She can. She can make kiddush also if she wants. She can also make kiddush. Listen, there are things that are traditional, and there are things that are not traditional. I hear where it's coming from. I hear it's a certain approach. It's a certain approach. It's a certain approach to Yadus. It's not a violation of halacha, but can you say that this is traditional? Did their parents do it like this? Their parents didn't do this. Their grandparents didn't do this. It's not traditional. Okay, it's. We're not going there now. Let's not talk. Over here, a woman, why the Iker Tam, why a woman lights the candles is because it says in Shulchan Aruch, okay, this says, Shehi, it's a Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch. A lot of people, unfortunately, live in a generation where they tell you all the wrong reasons. They'll tell you, everything is always, they'll tell you the Zoyar before they'll tell you the Pshat. Okay, the Iker Tam is the Iker, the Shulchan Aruch says, because the Isha Oisekes B'Tzarchei Habayis. The way Chazal structured Jewish home is the woman's home. It is her home. She is Oisek in the Tzarchei Habayis. It's her domain. The candles are lit. It's her domain. She lights on behalf of her husband and her children. It's her mitzvah. Husband cannot take it away from her. Now then there is the Medrash. And the Medrash is because Isha, she brought death to this world. This week's parasha. Isha, she's the one that supplied men with the Eitz Hadas. She brought death. She was Kava, the Oiroi Shel Oilam. She extinguished, this is what everyone likes to tell you. They're not going to tell you because it's her home. They're going to tell you because it's the woman that she extinguished the light of the world by giving man teeth from the Eitz Hadas. You can't rewrite history. Okay, that's what it says in the Torah. And therefore, in order to rectify her chait of extinguishing the aura of the world, she has upon herself the obligation to rekindle the light of the world, and this is expressed in a token way by lighting the Ner Shel Shabbos. And the man cannot take it away. Now, there is one very, very deek from Rabbi Akiva Eger. We'll just stop, we'll tell this, we'll stop with this. Rabbi Akiva is a very beautiful deek. It says, everyone knows the Mishnah. We say on Friday night in Bamed Matlikin that Gimel Averis Noshim Mesis Bishas Leidosan. Al number one, She'enan Zeros Benida, Bechala, Uvehad Lokas Haner. Question. Why does it say Hadlokas Haner? Why doesn't it say they're not Nizar in Ner Shabbos? Why did Chazal, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, add into the word Hadloka, the kindling of the Ner? So Rabbi Akiva Eger, none other than the holy Rabbi Akiva Eger, no Rabbi Akiva Eger was, Rabbi Akiva Eger, there was no one like Rabbi Akiva Eger. Goin Shebe Goinim, put everyone to shame. In his goyness, in his greatness, he says the reason why Chazal said the hadloka saner, the kindling, is to teach you that a man does have a chelik in the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and that is the sidur haner, in the arrangement. It is the man's obligation, but it's his right, prerogative, or duty, or whatever you want to call it, however you want to term it, whatever you want to say, depending on. Is to make, to prepare the Ner Shabbos. Uh-huh. Is to put the Ner, to clean the Ner, to clean the Leichter, to clean it, to arrange it, to have everything arranged al Mekoymai, and the only thing that he cannot take away from his wife is the actual kindling of the Ner, the Hadlokas HaNer. All of the arrangements should be made. Now, it was very common, and this is a very big, this over here is where you come to his expertise, the one who wrote the Sefer is, now what about, there used to be a custom where men, in addition to arranging the Neros, and there are people who, I know people who do this today, who actually do this, they actually set up the Neros, they're very meticulous, they set up the Neros, and then they go so far of actually lighting the Ner, and then extinguishing the Ner. Now, this was a very, this makes it easier to light the second time around, but this only really was of benefit in previous generations when they used oil. Some are going back to using oil today as well, but when they used oil and they used certain types of wicks and certain types of neros, which I'm not at all familiar with, and in these situations, indeed, it's beneficial to light it, and then to extinguish it. So when you light it, the next time, it lights up very well. Very, very well. It's already been tested and proven to work. Today, using your standard candles, there is absolutely, it would appear, no benefit. Adarabha.
I had this argument with my wife because I brought up to light them. I always did.
I did.
Yeah.
And then my wife didn't. And I wanted to prove something to her, and she stopped. You know, I didn't do it, so she proved that she was standing there trying to light one of these stupid candles for a while and couldn't do it. And I said, that's why.
Okay, that was an exception. 99% of the time, he writes here in the book, and this is a very big debate among the... This is where he made use of his spy camera, where he called upon the NSA and the Mossad and whatever other spy organizations out there in the world. What's it called in UK? It's called MI6, right? MI5?
Yeah,
MI6?
No, 5 is inside, 6 is outside.
So MI5, MI6, they're looking all over the world. So this is where he made use of MI6, the NSA, the CIA, and the Mossad to tell you what all the Gedolei Yisrael did in their homes. And he says that the Stipler, they acknowledge, he cites different minhagim, I can't remember the names, but there was some Gedolei Yisrael that said, it's true, it makes absolutely no difference. There's no benefit whatsoever in lighting the candles and putting them out. And Adar, maybe in fact you're doing more harm, and it depends what kind of candles you have, I don't know, but not. But so what? Minigav hasein lebiyodeinu. Minigav hasein lebiyodeinu, the man should prepare the candles, should light them and put them out. Other Gedolim say no, it's a shtus. They say that Bizman Hazed, absolutely, there's absolutely no benefit whatsoever gained by lighting the candles, putting it out. Maybe you'll tell me once in a while, or Messi has a story once in a while, but Ruba Deruba, there's no benefit, and probably the wife doesn't like lighting lit, can they kill one lit, it looks a little bit, whatever it is. So there's no benefit, so therefore, you can't do it. that part of the minhag just cannot be done today. Because it's just... It
should not be done. There's nothing wrong with doing it.
Okay, maybe not. Okay, maybe not. I know. He writes over here, Maran Hagoyin of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Nokat Shagam Le'elu Shemapidim Lo'y L'chaboy Sner... Oh, something else. I'm sorry. Where is it? El the Maran Hagoyin of Chaim Kanievsky Koisev the Oviv Maran HaStipler Tomid Hoye Mahavhev Gam B'Neros HaRegilim Shalonu. He did it. The Stipler. And he's scoring over here after telling you that most poskim say that today you shouldn't do it. I read you over here. Hanhogas gedoli hador. Aval yesh litzayin. The yesh sugei nevus de'ein harbe to'eles. There's not much benefit. Lehav havon. To singe them. Okay, to light them and extinguish them. Koidem v'yuchal afilu lifka nesapsus. By lighting them, you're ruining it. But if you light and you blow it out, sometimes you can make it even worse if you don't blow it out the right way. Kidmivim shemaran hachazoin ish lo hoya mehavev haneros haragilim shalom mebeit hamzeh. Okay? So he cites the chazoin ish, has footage from the CIA. Mossad, he would not do this. He cut this out. Because since the chazoin ish, it seems like he lit regular paraffin candles. It doesn't seem like there's a shemen zayis. So he says there's no purpose in doing this. So therefore, don't do this minute. He says not. He says over here he didn't do it. Uchde meidim al maran agon of shlomo zalman arbach de lo hoya mahavis apsilos shel apsilos. And he even floating wicks. It seems like he lit. That's oil. I'm assuming that he lit floating oil and they're floating wicks. And even oil floating wicks, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach did not singe. And he writes here because there's no purpose. You're not adrab. You're being by those talk. You ruin it. Okay, the floating wicks of oil. When you light them, you blow it out. I don't know if it could be. It makes it even worse. You only have one chance to get it right with the floating wicks. Okay, it's not so good. Yamaran Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Fisher also the lo hoye mahavaneros hamuchonois neiro. I'm not sure what he writes. Saying he also would not do it, but yet the Stipler he did it. Even though he acknowledged that there's really no benefit. He doesn't say Aramash. Not over here, not in this thing. So it's interesting. So there are different minhagim, but it's her domain for two reasons. Number one, Isha Zikaras Habayis, it's her home. Number two, the Medrash, she extinguished the Ner Shel Olam, the Deek of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says only Hadlokas Haner. That's when she's held accountable, but not for the arrangement. The hatovas haner, the sidur haner, that's for the man to do. It used to be the common custom for the man to be mahavhev, to singe the ner so it should light well. Today, our neros, there is not much benefit, and there is a difference of custom. It appears the vast majority of the Gedolei Yisrael saying that since there is no benefit, it's not kedai for a man to singe our neros today. The most a man can do is to arrange the neros for Shabbos. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll take a very short break, and we'll talk about. I want to talk about some very interesting things about Ishruchag, and related matters. You lie and you put it out.
The Kamprub does it also.
Who?
The Kamprub, my son.
What does he do? He lights it?
He lights it.
And he puts it out. He blows it out. Okay.
And he does oil.